First reading for today is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16, 17, 18, 23. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with our words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And this is the command, his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. This is the word of the Lord.
His mercy and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Years ago, there was a company that sold shoes that didn't need to have all kinds of big name people selling it for them and had all these fantastic athletes marketing their product for them. Before they used all these big name athletes, they used to actually work at making good commercials. Commercials that were catchy. Nike was one of those particular companies. They had the big Nike swoosh. They could use that, but they could get a big copyright for it. Actually, I put it on Facebook, so I'll be in serious trouble if you have to be out right there. Get that a lot more. But that Nike swoosh was there, and it accompanied that phrase, just do it. But hit that phrase, just do it, it didn't have all of these big name athletes. There was a commercial that they did. They'd ask a question in the commercial, and they would answer it in a sense. So they say you're too short would be the mistake made. And then they would show somebody who's like Spud Webb, who was the shortest NBA player, you know. But somebody really short being able to make a superior dunk that you wouldn't think anybody that height could do. But had on the Nike kid shoes, they were able to excel. So they think you're too old, and they show somebody that was an older athlete that was accomplishing some great feat. And then at the end, of course, they would say that just do it. And so they say you're not good enough, and they have somebody that looked like they were out of place that would excel at them in a race or something like that, or you're not fast enough, or you're too slow, and they would do the same, and at the end they kept doing that, just do it. Well, it got on after a while. All they had to do was just put up the swoosh and say, just do it, and you knew the idea, because they'd run all the commercials before. It was a powerful message. It helped relaunch their business, actually, and rocket them back up into the upper echelon of the shoe retailers. And these old commercials in the text, actually, though, have something very much in common, which is really interesting, I think. The commercial implied that talk is cheap, and what you might not normally expect of yourselves, you can accomplish. That's actually what our text today from 1 John is talking about. You're being able to accomplish that which you might not think yourself able to do normally, because as God calls us and says, you know, if you see your neighbor in need but don't have pity on him, then how can the love of God be in you? But let's not love with words or tongue, but with actions. We're urged on to what we can do. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We're supposed to go out there and extend ourselves, and God is saying we are the ones that can do this. And then that commercial also would challenge people to stretch and live beyond what they saw of themselves, and that's what the text is doing. It's encouraging us to stretch beyond what we think we're able to accomplish and know what God can do to us. And the message is sound in saying, don't think about it, don't overthink it, just do it. Kind of like a battle cry, just do it. It challenges Christians to a life of love. While for the commercial, it was the idea of just buy our shoes. It was about promise, not a doubt. But in a Christian perspective, that just do it also works, because that's what we're called to do. Go out into the world and to love people, to be there for people, to care for people. Love acts, love gives. Love is shown by the way Jesus did in his life. He didn't just talk about it, he acted. He loved us to death. His love compels us to just do it. get out there and be a part of this. There was a 20th century martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who spoke about cheap grace. The idea that people minimize and devalue the grace of God in a sense. How we do that in our lives is very common, because we actually have this cheap love. We talk about love, but we don't show it. And it's all flash and no dash. It's all talk and no go. We talk love, but we're not living the love that we talk about. And our author would remind us in his writings, he says, "Dear children, love is not love in words and tongue, but in actions and in truth." Get out there and do it. There's this artificial love that too many people have, and it infiltrates the Christian church as well, where people talk about love, but they don't show the love. They say we love someone, but we don't follow through on that with our actions. We're just talking about this in my Bible study this morning. Now we may pray for someone, but then we don't do anything beyond that prayer. And that's what we can do. We can be called to be those people that are ones reaching out, ones that are caring, ones that are loving, ones that are doing the action of loving, not just talking about the loving. Love at times is a very thankless action. It really is. Because we are called to love indiscriminately. And often that love is not returned. Not always. There are many cases where the love is returned, but often that love is not returned. But that's not what it's about for us as Christians. If we can't love a brother who we can't see, how can we claim to love God? That's another place that John has put a word for us today in another area of his texts. But it's so true. You claim to love God, but you can't love your neighbors around you, then it's not love of God. There is no such thing as a Christian that doesn't love their neighbors. If we don't love our neighbors, then we are not being Christians. We may not love them perfectly, love them as we should, but we have to have that love. We have to be compelled to those actions. We have to have that care and compassion for the people around us. If we don't have a care and compassion for the world, what kind of Christian would that be? God loved the world so that he gave his son. I love the fact that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And 1 John 3:16, what an amazing thing. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. 1 John 3:16 is just as good as John 3:16, but it had one more number in it, so it would be too much to put on the plaque and hold up with the wall. The other one cut off, isn't it, right? But what a great testimony. Jesus loves us. Go out and love others. That's what we're called to do. To show that same love that God showed to the world. He loved us. And so he died for us while we were his enemies. So it's not a matter of just loving those who are going to love us back. Jesus showed us that. He loved us while we were his enemies. And he calls us to love them the same. To lay down our lives for them, even in a sense. And I had one compliment I picked on in early service. Bailey was acting like we only had one compliment in the service today. I get to pick on you. Actually, I've got two brothers. They can verify for this, too. But I say to every one of my eighth graders, the eighth graders get the burden of going and having class in my office. They're going to hear what's going on. We're going to get the law. We're going to get the degree and everything in my office. It's not so bad in there, either, guys. And we cover not just the lessons, but we sometimes go beyond those lessons. And that's why I pull the eighth graders up. Other things I want to talk about with them and make sure they understand before confirmation. And so we have a little extra time on some of those things we talked about. But one of the things we talked about also is that I'm there for them, because these kids are my family. They're my kids. And if they need me, they can call me. If they get in trouble somewhere, or they're somewhere and they don't, they've got a friend that's driving them and something happens and they can't ride back to that friend, And they're not wanting to call mom and dad. They can call me. I've always told them. I will tell mom and dad eventually, or they will have to, but I will be there to help if that's ever needed. To be there for them, or if they can't get mom and dad, let me know. But then something else I say, and this is where usually the girls give me this funny look. I say, what if somebody were to bust through the side door of my office right now? And now all of a sudden the ladies are paranoid. Hasn't ever happened. It'd take a lot of work to steal a door. But if somebody were to come through there, and anybody were to threaten even one of my kids in this confirmation class, they would have to have me get on the floor before they could touch one of these kids. Because they're my kids, and I'm going to protect them. Now, I can't say what I did say about a stranger. That's kind of what our text is talking about. You have to be willing to go out there and lay down your life for just anybody? I'll lay down my life for my kids here. These are my kids, these are my family. But when I lay down my life for a stranger, and there are people that have, we hear about them in the news all the time nowadays. Sadly. But they do. They step in front of the assailant bullets in the life, and they protect others, even if they don't know them. They're there to protect them and bless them. And that's something that we can't know unless we're actually in that situation if we do that. I would pray that as Christians, every one of us would be willing to do that if we're in that situation, but I also pray that Christians are never in that situation. But we don't know until we're there. And praise God for those heroes that have done such things. And that's the level of faith that our text is wanting us to get to. That's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life even for those that didn't. Not only didn't know it, but those that didn't know it. But we need to be willing to say, we'll be there to protect life. And not just love with our words, but love in our actions. We're going to do it. When the time comes, we're just going to do it. We're going to do whatever it takes to show the love of God for others. And that's tough. How do you know what love is? We learn it from Jesus. Christ laid down his life for us. We who are unlovable, we who were enemies, he sacrificed himself for. He just did. It was his action, showing love for us. Our text states that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's just the way the text is, but real love is what fills us and forgives us and empowers us and compels us to go out and do what is needed next. Real love is living as he has commanded us and sharing that love, living that love, being compelled to be that love for others around us, recognizing that we can say, yes, I love you, yes, I'm there for you, but are we going to actually follow through with that in our actions? Do we talk the faith without walking the faith? And I want to challenge everybody here to do a couple of things. Two things I'm going to say. And you may already be doing this, and if so, that's great. Find a way to increase beyond even that. But two ways to challenge you to make sure that your hearts continue to be in the right place. And to know that this love of Christ is there for you even more than just what you experience in this 1 hour of worship a week. One is to be involved in a Bible study. That's a Sunday school on Sunday morning. We've got 5 or 6 or 7 different adult classes, plus our kids' classes on Sundays. We've got a Saturday morning men's Bible study. We've got a Tuesday morning women's Bible study. We've got a Sunday evening Bible study that takes place at the Ross house once a month. We've got a Bible study that the ladies do on the Every other week on Tuesday, Thursday nights, ladies night out. We've got lots of opportunities. Are we saying that God really doesn't need more of our time? We don't need to give more of our time than just that 1 hour of worship a week. Doesn't he deserve a little more focus than what we give in just 1 hour? Doesn't he deserve more focus than just that time of worship? The second challenge would be to say that if you're not doing it already, if you are, you can increase it in some way, but to do those home devotions. make sure that, we are following faithfully our Lord, to know about Him, to understand Him, to spend that time with Him. Doesn't He deserve it? I guess I'd say it this way. If sacrificing His Son on the cross for us isn't enough for us to give a little more time to Him, then what else can He do? He's done it all for us. He gave it all for us. And we need to be a people that are faithful in His Word, in His fellowship, and in concrete, in the family of God. Not to make excuses, but to give God the time that He deserves in our life. Weekly and a daily basis. Give Him the time that He deserves. There's an old parable that talks about this magic ring that his father owned. This magic ring bestowed on the bearer, the wearer, the gifts of grace and kindness and love. And he was a man of grace and kindness and love throughout his life. And he modeled that for his three young boys that he had. Upon his illness and fearing that he was near death and being correct, he took that ring that he had, and he had two more made identically to it. So that when the time came that he died, there was one of those rings for each of his three young boys. Problem was, now there was some bickering going on, as there often is in inheritances, and they argued over who had the real ring. And so they wanted to go through the court. And the judge said, well, you know, we don't have to make a decision on who has the real ring right now. We'll know it in how you play out your lives. The one that shows the grace and the kindness and love the most in their life will obviously have the real ring. And all three of those young men finished out the rest of their life showing grace and kindness and love, believing that they had the real ring. Isn't that kind of life for us? We know what we're to do. We just aren't doing it all. We know what God desires of us. We're just not always giving it back to Him like we should. And we know what would help us in our life. The issue is quit thinking about it. Quit looking for it to come. Quit saying that it's going to be something I've got to target for later. Just do it. That's it. Just do it. Come in and do it. Step out, be a part of it, live it, love it, share it, be the person of God that God has created you to be. Live the life of God that God has desired for you to live. Share the love of God as God desires you to share that love. You don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to plot it. You don't have to plan it. Love is, in the sense of Jesus' actions, I think of it like when He fed 5,000. Two fish and five loaves of barley bread. Ain't no way that's going to be enough to feed all these people. That's kind of like love, though. Love is never enough, it seems, until you give away. Once you start giving away, you realize that you've got just as much of it to continue to give and give and give and give. Just do it. It's God's call to you today. Love as He's loved you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.